Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ariana is doing just fine. She's booking everything under the sun. She's having her moment, and she deserves that.
I know, and I do have her back, and I'm so happy for her. Even her getting Dancing with the Stars, she knew how bad I wanted that. And I told her, I'm so genuinely happy for you. I will be there every Monday you want me there. She does deserve everything she's getting right now, and I'm so happy for her that she did not go down a dark spiral. I just am...
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. We're talking Vanderpump Rules and Summer House this week, so let's get into it, because we got a lot to talk about. Starting off with Vanderpump, right? I mean, I really had to roll my eyes pretty much immediately seeing Sandoval with his little ankles kicked up in bed, writing in his journal to make sure that we also see what he's writing in his journal before the day gets started, right? Like, dear diary, like, I can't believe this has been one of the hardest days since filming. Sheena and everybody's been kind of mean to me, and I'm feeling uncomfortable. And then, like, some stuff is blurred out. Who gives a shit? Not me. Lala goes to check in on Sheena. And here's where these two, I'm like, I don't know if you guys need to be speaking separately without the without like an adult present. But Sheena tells Lala she was talking to Ariana, right, and told her everything had been fine so far on the trip, no fights yet. So first they start talking about how if they were the ones to plan this trip, Sandoval would not have gotten an invitation, would not be here. But then it quickly pivots to Sheena saying that, like, she's struggling because back in the pandemic, she was struggling financially. She's pregnant. Her podcast got canceled. No income. The show wasn't happening. So she woke up one day to several thousand dollars in her Cash App, courtesy of Tom Sandoval, right? So she's telling Lala, like, I'm just really struggling with not forgiving somebody who's been there for me. So Lala asks her, are you feeling torn? And she's like, no, that's the thing. I'm team Ariana until I die, or, you know, at least until the end of the episode. Speaking of Ariana, she's doing a photo shoot for her new cocktail book. And this is where I feel like a little bit annoyed with the show, right? It seems like we need to be breaking a fourth wall here because so many big things have happened. And I think the show is doing a disservice by not explaining that, because this just looks like a throwaway scene of Ariana doing another book. But, like, the context of it is that she's getting this book deal off of all of the fame and the attention that's coming with the whole Scandoval. And I just feel like we're really skirting around the actual impact of Scandoval outside of how it's negatively impacting Sandoval. And like, he's feeling like the walls are closing in on him. It doesn't really make sense to watch this scene and be like, why does she have a book? What's going on? And she's just like, oh yeah, like, you know, I did my first book with Sandoval. He didn't think I could do it. Now I'm doing another one. I just feel like it's a disservice to not be like, she's getting this book deal because this is off the strength of her being significantly more famous. And also it's kind of like a gotcha to, oh, I did this first book with him. And we all know he kind of like weaseled his way into it. And now she's doing it all her own. And like, why don't we explain that more? It seems like it just feels like a little limp, you know, like you're only getting half a story, right? I don't know. Do you guys agree? I don't know. I would just like to say that it has been about 7 minutes in this show so far, and we've seen three scenes of Tom allegedly bettering himself. Two of him writing in his journal and looking away wistfully at Lake Tahoe like he's in a damn Danielle Steele novel. And now here he is doing push-ups before letting in Shannon, the yoga and wellness teacher that he invited over to help bring the group together. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Okay? He sits down and tells, like, Shannon, very slowly explaining to her, like, oh, you know, like, I had this girlfriend, like, you know, I had an affair with a friend of ours. And Shannon's, like, looking down and, like, trying not to smile. Because, girl, Shannon's been all up and down those Reddit forums. She knows you, sir. And she knows the whole story. But then he explains that before yesterday, this was, like, the first day where everybody in the group had kind of gone from hating him to letting their guard down around him. So Shannon says, we're not going to be doing like a traditional yoga session. We're going to be doing a seated meditation. Sheeta's annoyed. And I don't want to say that I like when Sheeta's annoyed, but I do think it's just very funny to see her just like darting eyes at people. I don't know why that's funny to me. Like, I don't want her to be unhappy, but it's just entertaining to watch. So she's pissed, right? Because Brock went golfing earlier that morning. So he shows up late. And then they're all lined up on these yoga mats on the floor. And what happens is that Shannon's explaining to them that they're going to have to pair off and do partnered meditation. And now she's stuck next to Sandoval and nobody else on the other side. And Brock is like giggling it up with James and Hippie and Allie. Like, oh, because Shannon's like, three of you guys are going to have to partner up because there's seven. So Brock's like, James, Allie, Hippie, like back to back, right? And so she just really pissed. She's like, what's going on? She's lost her husband. He's late and he doesn't want to do this partnership. And now she's stuck solely with Sandoval. So she's pissed. She is literally so pissed. So we started off, you know, close your eyes, listen to the lapping of the lake against the shore, all this shit, you know, like really think about it. Think about your life, right? Imagine your life like a movie. And of course, we see Sandoval close his eyes and it's like this whole black and white horror movie style montage of everybody going off on him as though he's a victim to this just like unprovoked rage on behalf of everybody in his friend group. Like, this is bullshit. Like, we might need to check the PayPal accounts back from 2020. The transactions between Sandoval and like the editors and producers of the show, because what am I watching? Like, this is such a favorable edit of him. Like, this is so wild. And this is also what's driving me. Well, I'll talk about that in a second. So after this, Shannon tells us we're going to go from back to back to frontsies, right? Face to face, face to face. And Sheena at this point gets up and she's like, I can't do this. Right? Like, I'm not okay. I still fucking hate him. She's running up the stairs. Like, I don't want to do this, right? So Brock follows after her in the kitchen and she's trying to get herself together, but she's also snapping on him like, you should have been there for me. And he tells her, I see what you're saying. This would have been the perfect opportunity for you to lean into your feelings and have a moment with him. Girl, we got to get a check. But he says in a confessional, to be honest with you, I intentionally paired up with James and Allie because I thought Sheena owes it to herself to sit down with Tom and have that moment with him. And she needs to figure out what's in the next chapter for them. So Sheena says, Well, I just thought you would have wanted to be with your wife. He says, but that's not why we're here. We're a group of friends trying to figure something out. I hear you, but that's not the point, Yolanda. Okay? So then Brock tries to hug her. She's like, I don't want to hug you right now. She's like still mad that he just showed up late. Meanwhile, everybody's just waiting for Sheena to calm down. So they're outside and Shannon's like, and Tom Schwartz is like, I got to tell you guys something. I saw a blue jay earlier today. That's it. That's all my story is. But I did see one. And even Shannon was like, bitch, who cares? She can't even make eye contact with him. She's like, I literally don't care. And I'm the most woo-woo chick out of all y'all. I don't care about the symbolism. A blue jay. So Sheena goes back outside. And then she closes her eyes and we get the movie montage of her life. But it's really her, like a retrospective of her relationship, friendship with Sandoval. Which, honestly, most of the examples were just Tom being performative around Sheena, not actual acts of fun. Like, at one point, they're on a boat and he's air humping behind her. The other one, like from a couple seasons ago, where I think Ariana planned a birthday party for Sheena, a surprise party, and they all as a group came out singing Good as Gold, and Sandoval went from the back of the group to the front and was doing all those in sync moves to be like, oh, the shining star of Sheena's surprise party that he didn't even plan. Great friendship, girl. So then Shannon makes them face each other. Look at each other deep in their eyes, and imagine what it would feel like if that person was not in your life again. Sandoval manages to work up one Warren Conrad single tear down the middle of his eye to try to drum up some sympathy. Did not work for me. Worked in spades for Sheena, though, unfortunately. So Sheena tells him, I know who you are to me, but I don't know who you are as this person. I don't know what you, like, the person who did this to Ariana is not the person that I know, right? So Tom's like, you just don't understand. And Sheena's like, I don't know if I need to, right? So then he says, you know, I was thinking about if this was the last day that I saw you, you know, in all our good times. And I was really celebrating that. Okay. So then Sheena tells him, I was thinking about this being the last time because I've actually thought about this a lot. This being the last day that I might talk to you. And I had been thinking about how, like, you know, that could have been a real thing because I was worried about you hurting yourself during all of this thing. And I don't want to keep hating you because it doesn't feel good, but you did this. So the camera pans over. Sandoval and Sheena are having this whole moment. The camera pans over to Brock, Hippie, Schwartz, James, and Allie. Why they have their backs to each other still is beyond me, but they're all just watching them, just like sitting in audience. Poor Hippie's been on this leash for 2 days now. Can we like free him? What's going on? What is going on? Sheena says in a confessional that when she was looking at Sandoval, she could finally see the mask fall on him. She could finally see her friend Tom and realize that in that moment, he knew how bad he had fucked up. So here's the issue. Here's the issue, Sheena. Sheena, here's your problem, girl. And it's always been your problem. Is that you want to be a friend to everybody. And that doesn't need to happen. Nobody needs to be your best friend. You started off on the wrong foot. I wouldn't even say you started off on the wrong foot. But like, let's be real here. Season one, you started off being like persona non grata, fucking scarlet letter on your sir, you know, that little wispy dress that they used to make y'all wear. And, you know, those little silk sheets that you guys used to wear. And Stassi hated you. She's like, oh, she's a whore or whatever. And then Katie and Kristen were like, yeah, we'll go with this. And then by extension, Schwartz, Jax, and Sandoval also went with that because it's just easier than having to go toe-to-toe against Stassi Schroeder, okay? A 2010 Stassi Schroeder. It wasn't worth it. So she's always had these issues. She's always been on the wrong foot, like particularly with Katie and Kristen. She's just never really had solid footing in a friendship with anybody aside from Ariana, really. And it's just like troubling to me that I just wish Sheena did not have to chain herself from the idea of being so well liked, because this is what it is. And really, it's like to a fault, because Sandoval knows that. Sandoval was telling you the truth. You gotta listen to men when they're angry and yelling at you, because that's when they're telling the truth about how they really feel about you. So with that man, after he found out that you found out about his affair, screaming at you and saying, "We have never been friends like that," he was telling you the truth, and you should have listened to that. And I know that it doesn't feel good, but he was never your friend. He was just a good time gal around you. There were no deep conversations, and I think Ariana tries to tell Sheena this too. Girl, that man was never your friend. And you know who should know that? Her. Because she was your friend, and that was her partner. And I can't imagine the things that he said about her. And, you know, great that he gave you money. That's so nice. But also, we have a very well-documented history of Sandoval throwing money at situations and being the hero. And now, when everything is, like, shitty for him, he is, well, allegedly, screaming about, like, "Oh, look at all the things that I did for people." These weren't, like, earnest acts of kindness. They were performative deposits into people so that he would get a return on his investment in the in exchange, you know, for loyalty, friendship, whatever. That's what that is. And that sucks. That sucks that he would behave that way and make you think that was real. And it's great that he gave you money. And I probably wouldn't feel so great about, you know, somebody giving me $1,000 who I was close with. You know, I'd be like, damn, that was a really nice thing. Objectively, it is a nice thing, but it's also a deposit into the friendship bank for him. So you got to move past that. So after this meditation, Sheena goes in the bathroom to cry. And again, I'm not laughing at Sheena, but let the tears out, girl. Like, she looked like she was crying really hard on the inside, and it was so difficult for her to just let it out. So she was just making these faces like, just let the tears out, babe. It's okay. Poor thing. So she goes in the bathroom to cry. Lala follows after her, right? And she tells her, "I actually texted Ariana, and the message says, 'This morning has been so hard emotionally for me. We had to do this partner meditation thing, and they made me pair with Sandoval, and I was so uncomfortable. And, you know, like, I don't feel okay. And I just want to tell you I love you, and I always have your back no matter what.'" And then Lala says, "Sandoval can't be crucified day in and day out because he made a mistake. It's fucked up, but it changed the dynamic of the group. There's nothing we can do to change that, though." Back in LA, Katie and Ariana meet up, and Ariana tells her about that text that Sheena had sent her that morning. And she's like, "I haven't really had time to follow up and, like, ask her the necessary questions about what went on." But Katie tells her, "But the truth is, like, if somebody wants to be friends with Tom, you're not going to be their friend, right?" And Ariana says, "Yeah, but it's being made out to be, like, some big dramatic moment, but it's really just me continuing on the path that I've been on. And I can't imagine looking at my life right now and being like, you know what the missing piece is? Tom Sandoval, you know?" And then she says in a confessional, "I've made it very clear it just does not work for me to have mutual friends with him because I don't want him having access to me. Not giving any ultimatums or telling anybody what to do, but I'm going to be putting my time and energy into friendships where I feel safe." Reasonable. Why this is not reasonable to you guys still? Like, it's really crazy making. Like, like, I'm really trying to be objective, but I'm still seeing people. We're watching Sandoval still take zero accountability. And y'all are watching Ariana just hold true to her boundary that seems incredibly reasonable considering not only at the time of filming, we now know in 2024, this man is in print, still not taking accountability. And there are still so many comments of people being like, What? I'm so sick of Ariana for having a boundary. She's so rude for, like, making her friends choose. She's not making her friends choose. She told y'all why. And it makes all the sense in the world. I totally get it. Imagine if Sheena and Sandoval really formed a friendship. And then what if, like, one day Sheena says something? You know, like, I get it. Like, I would not want this man to have any access to me whatsoever. I don't want him to hear a good thing about me. I don't want to hear a bad thing about me. Unless you find out about it in the Hollywood Reporter, because I got another check, bitch. But I don't want you finding out shit from, like, people that I have intimate relationships with. Like, that is completely fair. He is not owed that. We all know that this man just wants to be on TV. He does not give a shit about Sheena. He does not give a shit about Lala. He doesn't give a fuck about James. And frankly, he really doesn't give a fuck about Shorts either. She's really the only person on the show who he, you know, he probably would be like, fuck Shorts too. Like he was doing all summer on his little tour saying, oh, you don't have a house, loser. At least I'm a homeowner. He was saying shit about Shorts too on those tours. And where am I going with this? He's just like stupid. I don't understand like how we're watching this man continue to behave stupidly and then be like, I have an issue with Ariana still. Like we're just leaping right over this man's very clear, poor pattern of behavior and being like, well, I'm so sick of her. And honestly, like, shout out to Sel from Who Asked Me podcast. Y'all are right. Like, at this point, it's giving jealousy. It's giving, like, has this happened to you and things didn't work out for you? And now you're like, well, I didn't get what she got, so I don't like her. Because that's really what it's giving. Like, I truly don't like to use the J word of jealousy too much because I don't think oftentimes, I think it's a lot more complicated than that. But honestly, like, the mental gymnastics that it takes to still continue to hate Ariana when this man is still being the biggest fucking goof in all of Goofyville is wild to me. And mind you, she seemingly has no problem with Sheena and Lala and James, Allie going on a trip with this man. She just says, I don't want y'all being best Judies. Or y'all can be best Judies with him, but you can't be best Judies with me. She has no problem. She didn't say nothing about them going on a trip with them because she understands this is a show. This is like a necessary part of the process. I think this is incredibly reasonable. She didn't say, it's not like she texted Sheena and Lala while they were there and was like, fuck you bitches, I'm never speaking to you again. That didn't happen. Sheena's texting her and she's like, hey girl, like I'm hearing you. She's answering her phone calls and listening to her say these like crazy things on FaceTime that she says earlier with no complaint whatsoever. Not once telling her, I don't like you. She's just lovingly telling her as a friend, that man does not like you, which is true. So anyway, we then switch to Katie having a date with that guy from Emo Night, and we see a flashback where she's talking about pasta. She's talking about, like, penne, rigatoni, and he's like, what's penne? Like, the sauce? And she's like, no, it's the noodle. And he's like, oh, yeah, I knew that. So in a confessional, Katie says, I just don't know if I can see myself as somebody who, like, with somebody who doesn't know what penne is. Like, I had to introduce Tom to the world and get him to eat certain foods, and I just don't know if I want another project boyfriend again. I get that, girl. After that, everybody in Tahoe goes on a gondola ride, and they talk about what happened during their meditation. So Brock is riding in the gondola with the Toms, and he's like, oh, you know, the morning was good. You know, I was just upset because Sheena doesn't know how to, like, navigate the relationship with you guys. So Sandoval, the way this man weaponizes women's diagnoses is so weird to me. He says, you know, Sheena being diagnosed with OCD makes so much sense because she's like so focused on this thing, like this one thing. But what she needs to keep in mind is that neither Raquel nor I did any of this with the intention of hurting anybody. But you guys were acting like that's what we were intentionally trying to do. That is such a bullshit line of logic. Like, don't tell me I lied to you intentionally because I didn't want to hurt you. That never works because y'all then turn it around like when we find out that you lied, that the reaction was like, see, I knew this was going to happen. Like, no, bitch, tell the truth in the first place. I'd be a lot more pissed, a lot less pissed off. But you're trying to act like you're doing me a favor by being deceptive. fuck out of here. So then Brock looks at Sandoval and is like, dude, your girl put a restraining order on my wife. And Sandoval is, well, yeah, she got punched in the goddamn face. So Brock says in a confessional, I'm looking at Sandoval right now, and we have a percentage of accountability and blame. And he's probably like a 10% accountability and 90% blaming everybody else for his issues. So then Tom goes on and on about how it's been 5 months and Gina's been on a crusade and been perpetuating rumors about him and Billy hooking up. And Brock's like, bro, but your team was pushing rumors about me sleeping with Raquel. Your team was, to take the edge off of you. And Tom says something very interesting. There is no evidence of that whatsoever. Okay, because you made sure that there wasn't? Or is it not true? There's no evidence. You can't prove that. Is not the same as that's not true. So obviously we all know that during the height of Scandoval, it had been put out there that possibly Rachel had hooked up with Brock. And like that could be another thing. And so basically they tried to figure out Team Brock, whoever's Brock's team is, and Sheeta's team, try to figure out who that story came from, and they got some sort of off-the-record confirmation that it was Sandoval. And then he says, for the record, I never would have hooked up with Rachel. I never looked at her like that. We never flirted. There was like a little sister, big sister kind of thing going on, which I would have maybe reworded that. Because, like, no shade, Brock. Truly no shade to you, but that's pretty much exactly what Sandoval said about Rachel, so... It's not your fault. I'm just saying it's not the great logic. Not your fault, though. So then, when they get off the gondola, Brock is like, your family threw my family under the bus to save your ass. And Tom's like, that's just not true. You'll never find any evidence of that because it never happened. And I'll take a polygraph test. And on the one hand, I was like, because we all know the polygraph tests are bullshit. Like, all you have to do is chill when they're answering you the questions because they're looking for your spikes and your nerves. Heartbeat, whatever, when they ask a question that's like, you know, whatever, like, did you kill her, right? They're looking for your heart to start beating fast. That's what they're testing you for, really. So we know that if you're just calm, you can pass a polygraph test and be dead ass lying, right? But on the other hand, I kind of had to giggle because I'm thinking, I kind of feel like even if Tom Sandoval were strapped to a polygraph test, I still think he might fail it. I don't think he's cunning enough to pass it, because like look at how he just flails, dude. Like he'd get one question and the fucking polygraph would just explode explode into bits of pieces as soon as he says dude, flying off the charts. They wouldn't know what to smoke. So then this thing happens again where it's like we're bouncing back, we're like fucking pinball, where we're bouncing from logic to friendship with Sandoval to back to logic to back to friendship. It's just ping-ponging back and forth. So Brock, hot off the gondola, he's like fuming, telling Sheena like Tom still doesn't get it. And it stuck out to me that I would think Sheena would be like all in, because she's been like highly emotional about Sandoval, but she's just looking at her phone like furiously, looking like she's like tapping away, right? Not really paying attention to what Brock is saying, which I'm like, oh, that's very interesting. So then Brock goes from Sheena right back over to Sandoval, apologizing and being like, you know, I'm sorry for coming in so hot. You know, I just kind of, I'm trying to defend my wife, right? And so Sandoval's like, oh, it's okay, man. Like, but I was just attacked over the summer by your wife and you specifically. And maybe you thought I was on tour, like, oh, just partying, but it wasn't that way at all. Like, I had to make money. I didn't have any money coming in. So Brock says, well, okay, maybe we went on a podcast, but I think that your appropriate choice as a platform were incorrect as well. So we go back to Sheena, who's still looking at her phone. And Lala comes up to her and's like, what's going on, girl? We find out that she's looking at her phone because Page Six dropped this article the night before that some fan had come up to them and asked for a group picture. Sheena was standing next to Tom and had her arm around him, right? And now people are being like, oh, Sheena's a fake, blah, blah, blah. This was like, oh, we're doing it hashtag for Lisa, right? Like, we're filming a show. So Sheena's now spiraling because people on the internet are talking shit about her. And she's just like, just frustrating because people are assuming that I'm breaking trust with Ariana, but they don't know what I've been going through. And so Lala's like, I don't know. I don't really think you should be reading that stuff. Like, you're already having a day. Maybe just put the phone down, girl. Back to L.A., Katie, Ariana, and Chef Penny are doing a round of hiring for the Something About Her sandwich shop. And, like, no shade. I really hope none of those people were actually looking to be employed anytime soon, because we all know. Let's be real. Like, I'm really hoping Brett with the pickle ties is still employed at the Four Seasons. Like, cute little scene. Love the tie. Go back to the Four Seasons, bro. Not right now, okay? Maybe Q2. We can think about coming back. But anyway, Sheena calls FaceTime. What? Sheena hits up Ariana on FaceTime, right? And tell her on this boat about how stressful the meditation thing was. And so Ariana tells her, listen, in terms of you healing, I want that for you. Like, but you're putting yourself in a position to be friends with somebody who would do this to you. And like, I'm just saying, as a friend, I don't want that for you. So she tells Ariana about how they made her turn around and look at him and like imagine life without Sandoval. And Ariana's making this face with Katie like, ew, she actually made you do that? So Sheena says, I've just been struggling with that. And I told Tom, I miss you, but it'll never be the same because of what you did. And Ariana says, yeah, he put you in that position as he did everybody else with me. Everybody else. Honestly, Sheena, I don't think he gave a shit about your friendship. So Sheena says, well, he did give me, like, honestly, what I felt was a genuine apology. And for the first time, I got genuine tears for him and not performative. And I just feel like I needed to let go of the hatred I have for him. And Ariana, I can't keep hating him for you. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So Katie says in a confessional, Sheena's definitely got the wrong audience for this. Like, that was her life partner for almost a decade. Who are you talking to? So when they hang up, Katie says she sounds miserable, but she also kind of says, sounds like she's soft launching, you know, a friendship with Sandoval. Like, oh, I really miss my friend. She needs to think about her next move very carefully because you are going to cut her off. And Ariana just nods, right? So elsewhere back in Tahoe, they're on a boat, right? Schwartz is flirting with one of the employees, asking her to come back to the house. Like, oh, we're going to grill out tonight. You want to come over? My friend group's not really this dramatic. Oh, just kidding. Yes, they are. Sandoval's trying to pass a can of oxygen around because this man loves a prop. Loves a prop. Jesus. You guys want to hit? This is like oxygen, right? So Lala looks over to Sandoval and goes, can I ask you a question? When you would look me in the eyes and tell me to be real and honest about my life and all those things, knowing you were doing what you guys were doing, like, how could you look at me and say that? Like, I genuinely want to know. And so Tom at first was like, I don't even remember saying anything like that. And then the camera pans over to James with Hippie on the leash. He's like, no, I remember. I remember that. So then apparently the day that Ariana found out everything, an article had come out that Sandoval had done where he was saying that Lala wasn't real. She was overly douchey and she like needs to get back to herself or whatever the fuck, right? Sandoval says in a confessional, listen, I think we're both liars. Maybe we should just call it a wash, right? So Lala goes, no, no, no. Like, we can go down the list of things that I've done in my relationship and have a heyday. But nobody beats me up more than I do. You're not my dad. You ain't my mama. You're not my best friend. You don't get to talk to me about my past. And Tom goes, likewise. And she says, no, I do get to talk about it because you looked at me in my eyes and told me that I needed to be real when you were doing what you were doing. That's fucked up. And Tom goes, okay, I did that for 6 months, but you did it for like 6 years. She goes, no, I did not. No, I did not. And I'm so happy we're having this conversation because I thought you would say, you know what, Law? That was fucked up. You want to hold me to the past again? But it's about you right now. So then Sandoval screams about how, like, this has been 6 years of Lala making everybody else, like, put their lives out there, but except for her. And so Lala gets up to Sheena. She's, like, pacing. Am I losing my mind? Are you guys listening to this? And they actually weren't. So they're like, well, no, we didn't hear anything. We actually don't know. So then Lala explains in a confessional, maybe I overestimated the work he was doing. And she says, I gave you the benefit of the doubt for 5 fucking seconds. But you know what? You're proving to me that you are terrifying. So then she says, what I did happened years ago, and you won't let me evolve, but it's been 4 months from you and your behavior, and I'm allowing you to evolve. And then she starts talking about how Rachel, you know, mentioned in the end of the finale that if she didn't have Sandoval, she wouldn't have anybody else. And she goes, you isolate, you groom, you lie. And Tom goes, don't sit there and accuse me of grooming. Like, you don't fucking know me. And she goes, I don't want to because you're scary. Now, I'm just going to time out here real quick. Real quick. This is where Lala loses me. This is what I said, I think, in the premiere, is that Lala expects people to carry... She wants people to seek accountability with things that she needs to seek accountability with Randall, not other people. Like, Randall's the one who put you in this fucked up relationship. I know that you feel some type of way about people talking shit about you and basically calling you a hoe and a prostitute, a gold digger, whatever the fuck. You can be mad about that. Sure. Sure. But I also feel like there are times where she wants people to right the wrongs or pay the penance of things that happened in her relationship. It's not really her responsibility. I think when she's saying you groom, you isolate, it's, you know, she's feeling like things that happened in her relationship. And she wants him to apologize because something happened to her, which is similar to what Rachel felt. And I just feel like I'm never going to take up for Tom Sandoval, but I just don't know if this specific thing is, like, something for her to be that upset about. I don't know. Like, you were just gassing up Sheena earlier and saying he can't pay for his crimes forever, but the minute he, like, doesn't really want to give you what you want, you're flipping the fuck out and flying off the handle. And I just don't feel like... It just feels very obvious that you're not giving Ariana that same grace, you know? But, like, you're allowed to have these big-ass emotions, but Ariana can't just be like, I don't want to hang out with him, you know?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we all know, when it comes to everyone's business, I like to mention it all, but when it comes to mine, I like to keep things a little bit closer to the chest. But that method doesn't always work when it comes to your mental health, and we all need a way to purge and get it out. Therapy is a safe space to do that and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. By learning positive coping skills and all the tools you need to help you be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So you can just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/everyone's business today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/everyone's business. So now Sheena is like trying to translate to Tom what Lala's upset about. And she literally just repeats exactly what Lala had been saying. She just wasn't yelling as loudly. And she does tell him, Lala's been really nice about you the last couple of days. The last 48 hours, she's really been gunning for you. Really been a true supporter of you. So Tom says in a confessional that his biggest issue with Lala is that she's trying to pull skeletons out of people's closet. And he says, I can see how hypocritical it was for me to tell her to be real when I was hiding a 7-month And he, like, doesn't want to say this, but he's like, affair. So Lala and Tom end up hugging and making up, right? And Tom tells Lala he's sorry and how he's just, like, processing everything and it's a lot. I don't really give a fuck. In the midst of all this fighting, Brock has managed to take several shots because we have not seen him on camera in a little while. But we do see him trying to do a shot with the captain. He's like, I literally can't do that. He's like, all right, I'll take the shot for you, mate. And so, like, now he's... They're, like, having to practice carry him to the hotel or the Airbnb, right? So then he's having this conversation with Schwartz. And, like, yeah, this was the only type of venue for you to have this conversation, Schwartz, with a very drunk Australian man, because this is bullshit. It was bullshit, but also a perfect summation of Schwartz's relationship with Katie. So he is, like, looking at the lake and talking about how he wants to be single, you know, he just really wants to take time to himself, you know. And then he goes on to talk about how he's been really lucky in love in the past and having these, like, fairy tale type of moments with women. And even wasted Brock looks at him as like, you had that with Katie? And Schwartz, like, tries to be nice, but this is just classic Schwartz. And how he was able to get away with, like, being this, like, gee golly gosh, my toes are always out, I'm a nice boy shtick, right? Because he confuses people. And he says, you know, Katie, people have been really hypercritical of Katie throughout our relationship, right? But she was willing to be with me when I had nothing. And so, like, even though there are a lot of things I don't like about Katie, and I mean a lot of things I don't like about her, she was still there when I had nothing. And she is a pure soul for that. And, like, that is truly not only a summation of Katie and Tom's relationship, but probably several of mine. Like, I don't like her, but she was with me when I was a flop. And so, like, I will give her kudos for that, but nothing. I have no respect for her outside of that. She's just somebody to be there when I was bored. And even though I did not like her and I took every opportunity to throw her under the bus with people and give no support or loyalty in our relationship, even though I, you know, legally bound myself to be a partner to her for life. I also cheated on her hella times. You know, she's a really good girl for sticking with me when I had nothing. I will give her that and absolutely nothing more. Great. So then Tom thanks Schwartz for inviting him, and he says in a confessional, like, in the beginning of the trip, like, I just felt like a dog in the street. Now maybe I feel like maybe I can't be let inside the house, but, like, I could sleep in the backyard. Maybe they'll leave some food on the porch for me, right? So at the end of the episode, Lala and Sheena are back in bed with each other, just looking at their phones, like a true friendship. But then Sheena's still fucking spiraling about the picture and about the reaction to this. And Lala, again, is, like, trying to chill her out and says, are you looking for this information, Sheena? Because this is not coming up on my algorithm at all. And she's like, no, she's, like, literally in my mentions. She's, like, showing Lala, scrolling in her phone, looking at her Twitter mentions. And Lala goes, okay, so you're searching for it. That means you're searching for it if you're looking at your mentions. Like, who looks at those? And Sheena doesn't say anything. So then she, like, asks her, Sheena, has Ariana come to your defense at all? And she goes, no, of course not. What the fuck? How are you going from being like, I don't even see this on my algorithm, this is not a big deal, you're actively upsetting yourself by looking for this, to being like, oh, now Ariana's responsible for your feelings? How did we get here? She's not even here. So then Sheena's like, you know, I'm just tired because every time I talk to Ariana and I try to share my feelings, she just, like, tells me I shouldn't feel that way because he's a bad person. And I'm like, I know he is, but I'm just telling you that I'm struggling. But I think Ariana's trying to tell you that you should not be struggling because this person is not a good person, not a good person to you, and not a good person in general. He's not a friend to you. So there's really nothing to feel bad about or struggle with. She's trying to save you from your feelings, and you're not hearing her. That's not her fault. So Lala tells her, Sheena, your feelings are absolutely valid. You know, Ariana's doing just fine. And I'm hating this narrative of like, she's fine. She's getting things. She's okay. But like, what about us? It's very stupid. It's just like very loser behavior to me. Like LVP said it, like, oh, she looks like she's doing all right. Like, so did he. He also looked like he was doing all right, kicking around on stage, singing Jesse's Girl with a lightning bolt fucking blazers, looking like Miss Frizzle's dumbass son on stage. Like, he looked fine too. He also looked like he was having a grand old time. So now that he's giving you guys puppy dog eyes, it's like, oh, well, she's great. So, like, why isn't she going over to, like, this is wild to me. I don't get it. I don't get it. And also, I'm, like, 99% sure that at some point within this 24-hour period of Sheena getting her ass railed, Ariana actually did go on Instagram stories and be like, chill out about my friend, you guys. Like, she's doing everything fine. I'm not mad at her, so you don't need to be either. So she actually did do this. I just would like to let the record reflect. I remember that she did. So yeah, Lala's like, Ariana's doing just fine. She's booking everything under the sun. She's having her moment. She deserves that. And Sheena's like, I know. And I'm so happy for her. Even with her getting Dancing with the Stars, like, she knew how badly I wanted that. And to quote Tag Team's 1993 hit song, Whoomp, parentheses, there it is. Girl, I said this. I know I said this months ago. Why hasn't Sheena been on Dancing with the Stars? It seems like something she would really want to do. And it turns out she did. And she's now acting like fucking Cassie. I mean, my life has never been better. I'm so happy for you. From Euphoria. God, she is Cassie. And I'm like, okay. And now we said it. You are fuming that you did not get Dancing with the Stars before her. You're so pissed. You're so pissed. But everything's fine, right? And you're so happy for her. Also, we need to talk about how Sheena has actually been banned from appearing or going to the Dancing with the Stars studio, the show. She had been briefly banned because apparently a couple years ago, she showed up to the studio, a couple seasons ago, she showed up to the studio with a weed pen in her purse. They found it and they put her name in the system, flagged her or whatever, and were like, girl, get the hell out of here. And you're also banned. So she didn't show up for a while, was scared that she was going to get kicked out. And so Ariana gets the show and is like, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm like, obviously you're going to be there because you want to, you know, but sell yourself. Are you there out of support for your friend, or are you there to get some contacts and put your name in a hat? You know, just let people know if you're interested, ... Which one is it? So she gets banned. Ariana books the show. She starts showing up. The first couple times it's fine. And then it's like maybe the third or fourth time her name is like showing up on this flagged system. So whatever, like it's anticlimactic. They ended up taking her name off the banned list. Everything's fine now, but there was a brief time where Sheena Jay was banned from going to see the live appearances, the live showings of Dancing with the Stars. And that is funny, no matter how you slice it. Anyway, Sheena's still crying and lying about how happy she is and how, like, you know, she didn't go down this dark spiral necessarily, but she is still hurting. So in a confessional, Lala says it's time for Ariana to pull her own head out of her ass and come back to reality and remember who her friends were and what they've done for her. Sheena's been ride or die since day one for Ariana, and now it's time for Ariana to return the favor. We realize that what happened to Ariana, and I understand that you feel like your friendship was broken, and it was, and that is sad, but it's not Ariana's responsibility out of anybody to hold your hand through this. That's weird. It's so weird. So then Sheena's in bed. Why can't I ever have one moment where it can be about me? Okay? Yeah, he didn't cheat on me, but I lost a very, very dear friend, and I'm struggling with that. But I'm not allowed to feel anything because it's only about Ariana, and I'm tired. Girl, let's move on to the summer house, because I cannot.
Last time you guys were together, correct me if I'm wrong,
was in April.
Was in April, and it did not go well.
Girl, I don't even speak to you, so I don't
treat you. No, you just speak about me. You fight behind
right,
my back, and it's the most pathetic fighting I've ever seen.
You're literally nuts.
That's really nice and to you.
Yeah, so. You're nuts, too.
You know what? I'd rather be nuts than boring.
That's me and Lindsay, though.
Well, I don't like that to be our thing. Yeah, I don't, that's not what I would want.
That works for you?
I don't know. I think that, like, you think that I've done stuff in the past that I haven't done.
Okay. Oh, you didn't write an article about Amanda's wedding as anonymous sources? Please.
No, I didn't.
You did. You guys were saying that Craig got kicked out of Kyle and Amanda's wedding, did not happen. But I know that it was you, too. So you can deny.
It wasn't us.
It wasn't us.
Like, you think I leaked that story about Craig?
Yeah.
And it was Danielle.
Ooh, y'all, let's get into Summer House because, wow. Starting off from a pretty explosive episode last week where Carl and Lindsay were going at it. She was down to the summer house calling him Cocaine Carl in front of Gabby and really being unapologetic about it even the next morning. So we're starting off this episode with Lindsay asking him again why he said in a text message last night, I'm sober right now, as opposed to in general. And Carl's like, girl, I'm not doing this with you. I'm sober everywhere right now, in general, etc. I'm allowed to be upset. She's like, oh, why are you yelling? I'm allowed to be upset and have emotions. And he goes off for a run. Like, have a nice rest, girl. Click with the door. So he comes back from his run and he sees Gabby in the kitchen. And he's like, thank you for checking in on me last night. And he tries to explain to her, like, we went in that car on the way to the club. Lindsay was having this weird feeling about being with the guys instead of the girls. And that me and Kyle were trying to reassure her things were all good. But she was just like, no, wait and see. Things continued in the car. It escalated. And then she accused him of attacking her, even though he was very chill. So Lindsay now has to find another ally. So who do we go to? Danielle. She starts talking to Danielle about how, like, she went into this morning. Like, she spent the night with Gabby. She went in there to their room this morning, tried to figure out what was going on. And, you know, I told Carl that he wasn't being nice. And wouldn't you know, Carl got really defensive and he started cutting me off and talking over me and his tone was going up. But then he was acting like I wasn't listening to him. So Lindsay says in a confessional, old Carl, the more life Carl, was very dismissive and aggressive. And she absolutely has PTSD from that Carl. I think we're doing a little too much here, girl. Going a little too far. So a producer asks Lindsay, did you at any point think that Carl was not sober? And Lindsay says, no. So why did you feel like you wanted to tell him, you're not acting sober, you're not sober? And Lindsay says, yeah, I mean, listen, I 1,000% should have used more delicate words, but I'm just so taken aback by his aggressiveness in this moment. And he's treating me in a way that's startling. And it's very much old Carl. But this is like some bullshit because if you're going to come up here, be specific about what it is that he did. You're just talking about a feeling. Like, this is sort of the murky gray area that Giselle got into with Chris. You felt uncomfortable, but objectively, Chris did nothing to you, right? You're saying that you're feeling this, but you know he was sober. There was no reason for you to believe that he wasn't. You just felt like he was giving the type of person that he was when he was on cocaine, which isn't really fair. It's not fair. And if you have PTSD from the old Carl, that's not something that you need to work out. Like, truly. because that's not fair to him either. You know, like, he's doing the best he can by being sober. Him having an emotion outside of, like, what you think is acceptable is not cool for you to just question his sobriety every time he has a feeling that you don't want him to feel, or he doesn't answer, or he's not supportive to you in the way that you want him to be. Like, that isn't fair. And I think she thinks that she's making it better by not outright calling him Cocaine Carl and just saying, well, his behavior was reminiscent of when he was not sober, which really isn't a whole lot better, you know? And actually, it might be worse considering you straight up said that there was actually no reason for you to believe that he was not sober. So maybe we should just, like, move on to a different thing. I think you were just upset with him. But why were you upset? Meanwhile, Carl's talking to Kyle outside. They're talking to each other. And Kyle says, I think last night needed a couple witnesses. And what rubbed me the wrong way was the sober accusations. And what's rubbed me the wrong way about Lizzie for years is that she never takes accountability. And the way you deal with it is by falling on the sword for her and not dealing with it at all. But that doesn't work. Like, I can do that because I'm not married to her, but you're about to be. That's not going to work for you, bro. Last night was unacceptable. And Carl's like, yeah, but I don't want to blame her. And he's like, no. It was not good. And then Kyle says in a confessional, I've heard Lindsay say some crazy shit over the years, right? But this one really takes the cake. And it's taken all the work that Carl's done with his sobriety and just throwing it in his face. Now, I think a lot of you may have had the question of, did you kind of do that last year when you were like, oh, Carl would forget his laptop because he would be so high on coke? Yeah. But let's just say that you've learned your lesson and now you know how bad that is. And now it's not looking great for Lindsay, right? So Kyle tells him, I can see that you're making compromises. Like, you're like, just whatever you can do to calm her down, like going home, trying to solve the problem. But last night, Lindsay was the problem. Does it not freak you out that this wedding is coming up? And Carl says, it does scare me, but more than that, it really makes me sad. So then Kyle says, well, I just want to know, like, how many times is she going to pin things on you that literally have nothing to do with you? Because that's a long lifetime of falling on the sword, guy. After that, everybody goes to the beach. Well, while they're getting ready, Kyle goes up to Wes and Sierra and goes, I just want to know, did you guys hook up last night or not? And Sierra says, no, but he did kind of bite my arm last night. And so Kyle's like, well, what is that? It's like halfway to first base, right? And like, it's kind of like a bunt. Sierra says in a confessional, she's really trying to hold on to this, like, I'm keeping a stiff upper lip with him. Like, I'm just having fun. I'm not doing the timeline for life with, you know, marriage babies and all that other shit. Cut to Lindsay. But it's second week in the house. Like, I've already shat where I've eaten before, and I don't really want to do it again. So Gabby calls her sister Danielle to tell her, girl, Lindsay and Carl got into it last night. And Danielle's like, girl, no. And she's like, girl, yes. And Danielle's like, girl. And I'm like, yeah, girl, you have no idea. So Gabby says in a confessional, the real issue is that Lindsay came into this house enemies with all of the girls except for me. And she feels like she's not being heard from Carl. Not that deep, right? That's the end of it. Well, that would have been the end of it until Lindsay threw out some accusations that had no basis whatsoever. And now it's a whole other shitstorm. So once they get to the beach, Danielle and Carl are tossing the football back and forth and just talking about what's going on with her career. She's doing that fashion app. And she's like, yeah, I'm hoping we're in a beta with the app this summer. Carl is talking about, you know, I've been taking a step back from work and kind of looking at what I really want to do. So he says in a confessional that leaving Loverboy really was the best thing for him. But it has taken him a little while to get himself together and how he's got some things in the fire, but he doesn't want to rush into the next step. And tells Danielle, I'm going to give myself a year. If things don't pan out with what I am thinking about, I can always go back to sales because I'm good at it. Meanwhile, Paige is talking to Amanda and Sierra and is like, Jesse is really flirting with me. And she mentions how the night before they were at the club, Jesse leaned over to say something to West, but he put his hand on her knee. And immediately she was like, you can't do that, right? But usually she would not be the type of person to call things out in the moment. So Amanda says, yeah, Jesse's really been laying on thick, girl, to the point where I want to ask him, like, you know Paige has a boyfriend, right? Paige says, my boyfriend will beat his ass if he keeps saying shit. I'm thinking, Pillow? Pillow's going to be beating their ass? I don't know. She says in a confessional, Craig's not necessarily jealous, but he does have his moments. She never wants Craig to dislike anybody in the house because that's, you know, that's going to fuck situation up for her. But if the shoe was on the other foot and Craig was calling her and saying some girl touched his leg at a club, she'd be in Charleston in 2 hours. Like, she's done more for less. So Amanda says, this whole situation makes me really uncomfortable. And Paige says, I'm actually not uncomfortable, but I'm just worried that Jesse might not be concerned about this at all. So at this point in the day, Lindsay and Carl have not spoken to each other at all, right? Lindsay is talking to Danielle, and Danielle's telling her, I actually just had a great conversation with Carl about their careers and, like, the future. And she looks at Lindsay and says, but I kind of feel like you, like, maybe feel some type of way. And Danielle just kind of does that faraway look where you're like, you know what? I'm about to go in on somebody. So she moves to the chair next to Danielle and is like, listen. I'm going to tell you what's really going on, girl, right? So she says, basically, what's been happening is that Carl's been talking a big game for a little too long at this point. Like it's been a year now. So Danielle says, well, he's trying to figure himself out, right? And Lindsay's like, yeah. I've never been more patient in my life. So Lindsay says in a confessional. Oh, also, at the very beginning of this conversation, Lindsay asks Danielle about her sex life, love life, dating life, right? And she says, like, your girl's getting well fed. Make no mistake. And Lindsay says, well, I wish I could say the same. Like, y'all aren't fucking. Y'all aren't having fun. I have yet to see a real lick of chemistry from them since they've gotten into a romantic relationship with each other. As friends, I get it. As lovers, haven't seen it. Haven't seen one moment. Not even when they got engaged. Not when they've been babying out. Not once. It's not even happening now. I'm like, y'all aren't even fucking.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And that's clear. I don't know how people come back from the I don't really want to have sex with you anymore stage. Like, is that possible? I don't know. So Lindsay says in a confessional that now that she's switched careers from PR to being an influencer, kind of like Paige with the fish sandwiches and whatever else she's been doing, she's been really making a lot of money. But since Carl left Loverboy in November, he's been talking about a bunch of stuff. Like, he graduated with a TV and film production degree. So he's talking about doing that. He wanted to do a podcast. They got podcast equipment. He's talking about being a motivational speaker. She says, I think we might need to figure some things out first, but sure. And then she says that he hired a career coach for about 6 months and $20,000. So it's been a journey trying to figure out who Carl wants to be when he grows up. And then Lindsay dumps some rum in her cup. And then they start to discuss the wedding. And they decide that Danielle is going to officially RSVP because Danielle's like, I just want to make sure you actually want me to go. And Lindsay says, for sure, I definitely do. So back to Carl and his career. Listen, we all know his career, his resume. has been real shaky, not great. Loverboy, as far as we've seen him in his career history, has been the most secure job that he's had, and also it's probably a good deal because Kyle is ostensibly the boss and owner of the company. Listen, one thing about me is your girl, much like Lindsay, I love a man with a career ambition. Like, if you gotta, like, take some time because you're working on your career, your job, you gotta write some reports or whatever people do in business, take your time, girl. If this is gonna give you a check, I will take it. Because there's one thing about me is I like a man who is paid. And it's not even, like, about him being wealthy. It's just about him being, like, you're doing something. I like to see a guy who's driven. Because, man, you talk to a guy who's, like, equal parts not driven, but talks a big game about what he feels like he's owed. Whew, nothing less attractive than that. To be, like, an ounce fair to Carl, I mean, he's making money. He's making six figures. That's clear. He's on the show. But I could also see, like, I don't know if I would love, you know, I wouldn't be too attracted to this either. On the other hand, like, I'm just being really petty in here. This is not fair because Danielle's about to take an L. Maybe she doesn't deserve, well, she kind of does, but it's not necessarily necessary, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not really sure why Lindsay's talking to Danielle about somebody, you know, having a shaky career situation, because I feel like Danielle's been employed for longer, unemployed rather, for longer than Carl has at this point. And actually, that is true, because Carl's now back at Loverboy, and where is Danielle's app? So, well, uh-oh. But anyway, Danielle and Lindsay are kind of like, this is a really great start to the summer. I'm liking where we're heading. We're building a new friendship. Great. Good as gold. Paige takes Wes aside on the beach to tell him, hey, girl, you're doing great. You're doing amazing, sweetie. You're fitting in seamlessly. I think we could be friends forever. And I'm really liking you going for my girl, Sierra. They're talking about Sierra as though they're the ones making the decisions on her dating Wes, which is weird, but he does say that he's going to ask Sierra out later. So then Carl and Lindsay finally have their talk, and they go off to this, like, little blanket area, and he's like, oh, it looks like where I proposed to you. I'm like, I don't know if this is where we want to be bringing up those memories, but whatever. Irrelevant now, right? So Carl apologizes to her, okay, for dismissing her feelings, and is like, I love you so much. You know, I was just trying to comfort you last night, or I thought I was, and Lindsay says, but in these moments, I just don't understand where your mood came from. Like, you were being very snappy and aggressive and rude and mean to me. And I'm just like, what happened? Like, was there something I did separate from bringing up my feelings in the car? Gee, Lindsay, I wonder. So now you're putting the onus on him to be like, yeah, it really hurts my feelings that you accuse me of being on cocaine, the one thing that I've been sober from for years. That's wild. So he says, you know, it really hurts me to hear the comments that you made last night. And it really made it seem like you came from a place like I was lying, but the truth is you weren't sober. So she says that she has PTSD from the old Carl, and she was just trying to search and ask any question to figure out where this elusive attitude was coming from. She's still not saying, like, what it is he did. What did he do? Carl has to be like, I'm scared of the old Carl too. I don't want you to feel like that, but it's the last few months before we get married. I don't know where we're going to be next year. We could have maybe kids. I don't know what's going to happen next year. Lindsay, you hear me when I said maybe we'll be married and I don't know what's going to happen? You hearing me? This would maybe be a comment that would make you not feel so blindsided, because he's saying, I don't know, if maybe we'll be married. Maybe we'll have kids. I heard some maybes in there. But then he's like, I just want to have some fun, you know? Let's start off on a new foot. Let's have a good summer. Can we have a great weekend? And she's like, yeah, babe. And then they kiss and make up. You know, for now. For now. After that, the house splits up. They're going out to dinner. Half of them, Amanda, Carl, Wes, Sierra, Danielle, all go out. The rest of them stay home with the dogs. What is really... Wes really has some game. Okay, like, he's got it. He's sitting next to Sierra. He's got the casual arm arm on the back of her chair. Like, he's taking it, y'all. He's taking it. Back at the house, they decide to play that sticky note game that they played from The Office, where they put somebody's name on a sticky note, you put it on your forehead, and you're supposed to guess whose name is on your forehead, right? So Kyle has Sierra written on his forehead. Am I a bitch? And Paige goes, yeah, definitely. And then he goes, do I have perfectly sized melons? And everybody's like, yes. And he goes, Amanda. And they're like, no, actually, no. Jesse happens to have Amanda on his forehead. And his first question is, are my vibes like a 9 or higher all the time? And everybody's like, definitely not. Kyle says, I would put you more at like a 2 or below. And Paige goes, yeah, more like we should be maybe checking your hemoglobin levels. And Jesse goes, oh, Amanda? Speaking of Amanda, she was very adamant that, like, Kyle, you need to make sure that you watch these dogs while I'm gone. Make sure that nothing happens to them. Somehow, in the midst of all of this, somebody just leaves one of the back doors open. And Lindsay, nobody notices until Lindsay sees the dog go to the other door trying to get in. So they let the dog in, and now they're like, oh, where the fuck is the other dog? Paige is saying in a confessional, literally last week, Kyle was telling Amanda, like, oh, I don't think you're ready to raise kids. Yours just ran out the back door. Okay. If anybody's not ready for kids, I think it might be the one that lost them. Can you guys let me know, those of you who watched the version that aired on TV, did Kyle let a fuck through? Because he did on the screener. He's like, who opened the fucking door? Something like that. I'm like, ooh, that was fun. Let me know if y'all heard it. So Kyle's, like, looking around. He's stressed. He's, like, by himself. And he goes back in the kitchen. It's like, could somebody help me? So Lindsay just goes upstairs. And the other dog's just chilling. Like, tail wagging, belly up for a rub, having a great time. She's just been chilling in that room the whole time, living life. They're like, she's fine, Kyle. Like, everything's fine. Back at the restaurant, Amanda's, you know, they're really, every time they get Carl, they're like, get out, girl. We're trying to help you. So Amanda's like, you know, I really think it's a great thing, an incredible thing that you decided to have dinner with us and not Lindsay. And, you know, he goes into this long-winded explanation about how she felt like he was being dismissive to last night. But Sierra asks him, was Lindsay drinking last night? She knows that he did. She was. So when he says yes, she's like, but how are you going to deal with that in the long run? Because Lindsay has a tendency to drink and get rude and obnoxious. And Carl's like, well, she's not as bad as she used to be. But listen, we're going to therapy. I know I say that all the time. They're like, no, it's a good thing. It's good that you're going to therapy. And he goes, listen, I will say that we always come back together, which is a little in the territory of famous last words. You're like, we might tear each other apart, but we always come back together. I don't know. I think that was a term that really sounded much better in the 90s than it does in the 2020s. You know what I mean? So back at the house, I feel like people have been calling Gabby a little sleepy this season, but to me, she's doing what needs to be done. So they're all cleaning up after dinner. It's Lindsay, Paige, and Gabby. And Gabby's talking to Lindsay about how, oh, things seem to be going really well for you now. Like, things are good with Danielle, chill with everybody else, you're good with Carl now. And then Paige walks in, and Gabby just, like, perfectly stirring the pot, being like, well, what about you two guys? Like, the last time y'all saw each other was, what, April? Like, when they filmed a reunion? And that didn't go well. So Paige says, yeah, but that's like me and Lindsay, though. And Lindsay says, but I don't really want us to be like that. Like, I don't really need that to be our dynamic. So Gabby asks Paige, does that work for you to just have this dynamic with Lindsay? And you could tell Paige really wanted to be like, yeah, but she didn't want to be like a spoil sport. So she just goes, I don't know. So then Lindsay tells her, Paige, you've actually accused me of things that I haven't done. Cut to her, Paige, accusing Carl and Lindsay at the reunion of putting out this story in the press about how Craig had gotten kicked out of, or almost gotten kicked out of, Kyle and Amanda's wedding. She says that she knows that it was Rat House that put that out, right? So Lindsay tells her, you think that I put that story out, but it was actually Danielle. Uh-oh. So Paige says to Lindsay, listen, Danielle absolutely should have spoken up and said, hey, like, you can say a lot about Lindsay, but this would not be one of them. That was actually me. But we can move forward. You know, if something comes up in the future, I will be sure to say it. And Lindsay goes, yeah, say it to me, to my face. And so Paige is in a confessional. What Lindsay wants to do is, I just feel like she wants me to turn against Danielle and get all the other girls to turn against Danielle. But I appreciate that she's trying to make amends with me. This isn't the way I would go about it, but it's the only way she knows how. So, amazing. They shake hands and make up or whatever. I don't know. I believed their makeup more than the one she had with Carl earlier, frankly. Paige, everybody goes out. Paige stays home. She's got to keep the hive of the bed bugs. Just make sure they know that she's the queen and all that. You got to keep the people intact to let them know your mother. And I get it. Jesse Solomon, when they come back, loses me forever. Because West and Kyle are just sitting in the bed, like two little blonde boys about to go to sleep with each other. And Jesse, like, goes and squats right in their face and farts. I would die. I would be like, he needs to be kicked out of the house immediately. I'm throwing up. I need to go to the hospital. I have no tolerance for that whatsoever. It's disgusting. Sick. Sick. Kyle and West fall asleep with each other, probably because they're, like, passed out from the fumes directly into their nostrils. Jesus. Before everybody leaves for the weekend, Wes goes into Sierra's room to, like, help her bring her bags downstairs. But then he goes, What's your week look like? Because you're busy on Thursday. And she goes, are you asking me out to dinner? And he goes, yeah. Yeah. And I heard you say that you like a car pickup, so I'm going to do that for the first time in my life. Can you handle that? He's a little cutie. Okay? And we can't deny it. He might be America's sweetheart. He really might be. So they go on this date. He's, like, waiting for her outside. They're going to this cute little restaurant in the village. And the way he looks at her when she comes out of the car, he's, like, mouth open, like, screaming. Like, look at you, girl. And he says in a confessional, obviously I've been on a million dates in this city. But you meet a girl off Hinge and it sucks. You never have to see her again. But I'm about to see Sierra 900,000 more times this summer. So I've got to fucking bring it. West Wilson, this is a thought that has not ever occurred to another man in the summer house. Never once have they considered, oh, I actually have to share a space with this woman. Maybe I should consider being a little bit more respectful to her than I would be the average woman that I treat and date. Wow. Thank you for that, West. Thank you for that realization. So then they sit down, and he's like, how about we split some deviled eggs with crispy jalapenos? And I thought, damn, I might need to go to this restaurant. I'll put it on the list. So she compliments him. He's, like, wearing a mesh shirt. He's got his nipples out. And he felt like he's telling her, you know, I felt like you've already seen them. So, you know, whatever. You like it? Yeah. And they're just, like, really having a great date. She's really trying to resist. And she tells us in a confessional that usually, at minimum, the dudes she dates are, like, 33. Like a mid-30s kind of chick. This is very different. Not used to dating guys in her own age bracket because she's right. Like a 28-year-old cute guy in New York is in the prime of his life. They're not trying to date intentionally and get married. So she's not going to be trying to jump into anything right off the bat with this kid. I think a very smart approach to this because she's not wrong. She's not wrong. This kid's cute. And also another factor in this is he's about to be on a show and be America's sweetheart to all of us women. So really, like, let's take this slow and see how this goes. I think this is a very smart approach considering, you know, you just got chopped up by, you know, the Muppet in Charleston. Let's take things a little bit slow in our approach, okay? Fair enough. Yield sign. So at the end of the episode, Carl and Lindsay meet up at this non-alcoholic bar. Again, she pulls up, and I just feel like they're talking to each other for the first time. Like, do y'all even share a bed? Do y'all share a bedroom? Do you guys talk? Do y'all sit down and, like, have a show? Do y'all have a show that you watch and share together? It's not giving. It's really not giving. Every conversation that they have is like they are trying to be friends after a breakup. That's what it's giving to me. So, again, I'm like, the blindsided comment keeps ringing in my head, and I'm just wondering what it is that she's not saying that is so blatantly obvious to me. But anyway, they meet up at this non-alcoholic bar, and Carl tells her, I'm actually wanting to talk to you about, like, my career and my future and stuff. And he tells her straight up, I've really been relishing in not having a 9-to-5, a 9-to-9 to go to. And Lindsay goes, listen, but, like, what is it that you want to do? Because there's a lot of talk about what you want to do and not a lot of movement towards getting there. And she tells him, you know, I'm really attracted to drive and determination. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go to the bathroom right now. So he tries to flirt with her and he goes, oh, do you want to go to the bathroom with me? And she goes, not really. Not right now. No, I don't. So then she tells him, listen, the alarm's got to sound at some point. Like, it's kind of sounding for me now. I'm going to need it to sound for you pretty soon here. I can open my PR firm if I need to, if shit really hits the fan, but I got to be realistic about where I'm spending my time here if we're going to be having children in the very near future. So I really want us to have a plan, and I'm more comfortable if we have a plan. So Carl says, by the end of the summer, I'm telling you, I'm going to have a plan. She's like, cool, cool. And he says, listen, I'm really proud to be a voice for what I've been through. So I'm thinking, how about a sober sports bar? Just like the blood just drains out of Lindsay's face. And she goes, listen, I don't know about brick and mortar. Sorry. Like, I'm going to have to say no to that one. I've been working in the hospitality industry my entire life. All the clubs and bars and restaurants in the city. I'm telling you, I don't want that for our future family. No. So he's just like looking at her. And listen, I'm not on Lindsay's side about this. I don't think Carl's very sensitive. That's clear. This approach, as a sensitive person, this approach would not be conducive to me moving forward. You know, I think I've matured out of that, but like, Carl also needs to, like, figure it out. You know, this wouldn't be great for me either. But is this, like, really putting a point in Lindsay's category for, you know what I mean? Not so much. I get her point, but I'm still not going to give her a point. She has a point. But a point's not going on the board for her. You know what I mean? I'm rocking with you, girl. I am. This is a really good show, you know? Because my opinions just go from left and right. And I love it. I love it. You guys have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday. We're going to talk the Traitors. Ugh, the finale? The reunion? So much to talk about. What the hell is going on in pop culture today? Oh, man, so much. Yeah, I think I'm dropping merch next week as well, so stick around for that. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.